The death of God is about the drying up of a horizon of meaning and of a whole form of human life.
Where do we stand in the illusion it makes? What kind of space are we invited into?
The material relations between people become social relations between things. When we look at toasters, corn, and TVs,
to a large extent, live in the interregnum between worlds, if you will, or between paradigms. Not many people in the history of the world have faced that.
Zero Squared is the Zero Books podcast. Benjamin Lane is an undergraduate math and computer science student at the University of Oregon, a member of the U of O's YDS chapter, and my oldest son. This week, he joins me to discuss Marx's theory of value, David Harvey, and an essay by Professor Mark Worrell entitled A Faint Rattling, a research note on Marx's theory of value. This is the first half of the conversation. The second half will be released in 2 weeks' time. Both podcasts will be available in full for our Patreon supporters. It's Wednesday, April 4th, 2019, and I'm Douglas Lane, the publisher of Zero Books and the host of this podcast. This week's podcast is available in full for our patrons. Our Patreon supporters get access to two podcasts every week, Symptomatic Redness and Zero Squared. But if you're listening on our free feed, you'll always be able to access one or the other podcast. At the moment, we have 575 patrons. When we reach 600 patrons, we'll introduce a new series of patron-only videos, tentatively entitled Communism 101. I'm really eager to get started on this series, and we'll make the audio from these videos available for free as audio podcasts on this RSS feed. Help me get started. The music you're listening to right now is Macintosh Plus's 420, played on the guitar by the guests. But in just a moment, you'll be listening to my son Benjamin and I debate exchange value and value. Ben, I'm going to introduce you. Ben is a student at the University of Oregon, majoring in mathematics and computer science. He is a member of, can I say this? So you're a member of the YDS?
Yeah, you can say that, yes.
Member of the Young Democratic Socialists. And he is my son, firstborn son. There's a little bit of nepotism here. He's been actually a regular on this podcast over the years, more so when it was Diet Soap than when it's been Zero Books. But I think I've had you on the Zero Books podcast before.
I think I may have. I'm not sure. Maybe I have definitely been in your introductions to the podcast.
And you were in a recent introduction to the podcast. So now you're the guest. And we're going to be discussing Capital, Marx's Capital, Volume 1. But we're also going to be discussing an essay by Mark Worrell out of New York, a professor at SUNY Cortland, New York. An essay he wrote, I'm not sure when, but it's entitled Faint Rattling, a research note on Marx's theory of value.
And you can find it online by Googling exactly that.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes or in the description if we put this up as a video.
Sounds good.
Before we start the conversation on Marx, I want to tell you a little story about what just happened in the backyard.
Okay, what just happened?
Well, I found there was a dead mouse.
Oh, no.
Right outside the backyard door.
Did the cat kill a mouse?
I don't know who killed it. Probably a cat did. But I decided I'd had enough of it sitting on the concrete there. So I pushed it with a stick into the grass and then into a bush. At which point, French fry, our chicken, went into the bush, grabbed it in its beak, and ran off into the yard with it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Chickens are disgusting, horrible creatures, but I like them.
Yeah, I like, as disgusting, horrible creatures go, I like them too. They're loud too.
They are, and they'll eat rotting mice.
Yes, they will. Let's just dive in on this essay. I have my notes on it open, but why don't you summarize it? What is this essay about? A Faint Rattling.
All right. So it's a criticism of David Harvey, and it also touches on a quote by Slavoj Žižek, and it's about it. its thesis basically is that David Harvey's conception of the commodity and of value is incorrect. And it posits that exchange value is basically the same thing as value, or that they're more closely related than Harvey would say. And not only that, it also goes into a thing that I think is interesting about abstract labor and how that relates to value. And it posits that value doesn't really exist beyond the point of exchange.
Yeah. So those are all interesting points. I think I disagree with most of that. Now, I'm usually pretty critical of David Harvey. But in this case, I find myself somewhat siding with him. I have to say that, you know, one of the things that I hope we can do is take this question to our Capital Reading Group.
Yeah, I think
maybe this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And after we've discussed sections 3 and 4, see if anything has been answered in that discussion that maybe comes from this faint rattling. And we should share with the group that this podcast has come out, and that this essay should be read as in addition to Capital Volume 1, Chapter 1.
I already told Tim that he should read it.
Yeah, well, no, this will be official. And I'll tell the people who are part of this through the Patreon. And so just to clarify it a bit, why don't we read a little bit here? I'm going to read the quote from David Harvey that Worrell puts at the beginning, near the beginning, where he says that that basically he says David Harvey doesn't do a close enough reading, or that he's close but not on target when it comes to reading Capital. And he quotes this piece from a David Harvey lecture from about 11 years ago. So it's kind of amazing to me that Harvey's lectures on Capital are that old now. But here we go. Three fundamental concepts: use value, exchange value, and value. Value is what is passed on in the process of commodity exchange. It's the hidden element in a commodity that makes all commodities in principle exchangeable with each other. Values are represented now by exchange value. Exchange value is a representation of value. Worrell says Harvey makes two notable errors. On the one hand, he misrepresents the structure of Marx's value concept, and secondly, he misconstrues the specific synthetic transformation function of the exchange relation itself. In parentheses, note the phrase "passed on," as if value may have already been there and may even persist somehow in a post-exchange afterlife. So my first thought, I mean, just when you showed me this when you're home for spring break, and my initial thought, just having read that far, was, well, of course, value has to have existed before the moment of exchange, because its origin is in the labor of workers. And because of that, that means that value, the surplus value, rather than the dead labor and the fixed capital or the raw materials, the surplus value that the workers create at the point of production precedes the what goes on in the market, the point of exchange. So value must have already been there before it's the point of exchange.
Now, I think this essay actually has an answer to that exact point down here, and where it says the abstract labor theory of value, right? And he actually says Worrell says value is not created in the labor process. The phrase itself is a fetish expression that assumes labor is automatically abstract and that labor products are already commodities. Labor, and we can only find concrete labor and concrete labor processes at points of production, creates no value. The expression labor of theory of value is true but misleads many, and we see this constantly, the haphazard and automatic droning of theory reduced to phrases and slogans. For Marx, it is the reduction of concrete labor to an abstraction that is key. Concrete labor, useful and specific, considered without regard for its sensuous particularity, or labor reduced to time and socially necessary quantities. Value is identical with abstract labor, its substance, and measured its magnitude in its socially necessary quantities. So he says basically that the labor process itself is, you know, individual and sensuous, and each act of laboring is kind of different. But the thing that grants commodities value is the abstraction process. Is this kind of, I mean, maybe you could call it a kind of fetishism, where we start to see this individual labor as some kind of abstract form, right? And then that labor is, and that. So yeah, I mean, I think I agree with him that value is identical with abstract labor, right? I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, abstract labor is the source of value. It isn't the same as value.
What is?
So that's abstract, important distinction.
Okay. Yeah. But so what is value then if it isn't? Because. I mean, Marx does say at some point that abstract labor is the substance of value, I think, in the first chapter of Capital.
Yeah, well, we have to look at – let's look at the word substance maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. So substance, philosophically, let's say.
Okay, can I read from Capital first, because I just opened to it and found this. In parentheses, he says now, on page 131 in the Penguin edition, he says, "Now we know the substance of value, it is labor. We know the measure of its magnitude, it is labor time. The form, which stamps value as exchange value, remains to be analyzed." He says the substance of value is labor and the measure of it is labor time. Or I think you could replace those with abstract labor and socially necessary labor time, because I think he does that. Because this is part one and then he goes on to talk about those other things. Yeah.
Okay, so what does he mean by saying it's the substance? I'm looking up just a philosophical definition. I'm not sure it's the right one, but the philosophical term substance corresponds to the Greek osia, which also means being, transmitted via the Latin substantia, which means something that stands under or grounds things. According to the generic sense, therefore, the substances in a given philosophical system are those things which, according to that system, are the foundational or fundamental entities of reality. Thus, for an atomist, atoms are the substances, for they are the basic things from which everything is constructed. A David Hume system, impressions and ideas are the substances, for the same reason. In a slightly different way, forms are Plato's substances. So, okay, so to say that human labor is the substance of value, it means that it's what grounds value.
Right. It's like, can we talk about what's an example that's kind of, I mean, Marx compares value to weight at some point. Like, what would be the substance of weight? Can we just, I mean, maybe we can't say.
Well, I mean, weight is a measure of the mass or the.
Yeah, right. So mass is the substance in that case. And then the measure is the.
Right. That's right. But, you wouldn't say that there are other ways to measure a mass, right?
Right. Or to talk about a mass.
Well, you can measure its circumference or its extension.
Right. Yes.
And that would
in physics
tell you something about the mass.
In physics, mass is independent of circumference, right? So, for example, a black hole has a lot of mass for its circumference. And actually, it's different from weight also, because weight would be basically, and weight is like mass times the gravitational force, right? But it's directly related. But I think you could still say its substance is mass. So,
well,
so
the question is: can we say that something has a substance, but that substance is not identical to the thing?
Right. Well, why do we need to in this case? Why is that an important distinction?
Yeah, I would want to say that because we can't treat labor time as a commodity.
Right.
That you can't exchange hours of labor for hours of labor.
Labor power is the commodity, right?
Labor power is a commodity. And you can sell labor power, but you don't – but the labor hours don't have any value. They're the source of value, but they don't have a value.
Right. Labor power has a value,
yeah,
right?
Which is the amount of That's the basket of commodities that it takes to reproduce the worker.
Right.
That's equal to a set of commodities. It's not equal to the hours worked.
I mean, I think he does say in like chapter 6 that the value of labor power is equivalent to the amount of time it takes to reproduce the worker in terms of, you know, labor hours, right? So like each of those commodities
in terms of labor hours to produce the commodities,
right?
But not it's not equal to the amount of labor time the worker works.
No, it's equal to the amount of labor time that goes into allowing the worker to work. Yeah.
That makes the labor time that it takes to produce the commodities of consumption for the worker, like a pizza or, you know, a building for rent or whatever. So, yeah, the point is that we don't want to say that value and labor time are identical, because that could lead us to think that you can exchange labor time directly for, it might lead us to come to the wrong conclusion about wages.
Okay. I think we should talk about.
But there's another reason why that philosophically that you want to differentiate between substance and, something that comes from that substance. I mean, like just traditionally, like one of the things that is considered often to be the substance of the universe,
right,
would be God.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So most theologians don't want to think that the universe and the things in it are identical to the substance of the universe. I mean, it's not every theologian who thinks that the universe, the substance of the universe is God.
So are we kind of talking about
– sometimes he's the first principle or the first cause, right. The cause of the universe rather than the substance of it. There's a difference between substance and
cause. Are we kind of talking about the difference between like substance and identity or
– Yeah. Well, I mean, so substance has its own identity.
Right.
Which is not the same as what may be derived from this.
Mm-hmm. I think we should talk about abstract labor, though, right? So, first I'd ask, so if value isn't identical or isn't the same, because when I think about it, I think, okay, the value of something is the amount of abstract labor that it takes to, you know, that is represented by the commodity and the amount of that abstract labor, that the measure of it is how many socially necessary labor hours, it takes to produce that commodity, right? So I mean that distinction between the so what is value?
Neither of those are, by the way, the exchange value, or as Harvey would put it, and I would want to as well, the price.
Now, I think that tell me if this is wrong, but when I think from like reading chapter 1 of Capital, that the exchange value of a thing, I mean, it's not identical to the price, right? Because the price is specifically the exchange value of some object in reference to the money commodity, right? Like the price of something is how many coins you can trade for, a keyboard or whatever.
Right, but it could be, okay, right, the exchange value could be measured in any kind of equivalent.
Right, So
and that could be, if in a barter society or something, or in a society where we have a different universal equivalent, it could be, you know, cigarettes or apples. That is the measure of the price of a commodity.
In part 3, he goes from using 20 yards of linen as the measure, as the, you know, universal equivalent, to using gold.
Right. But gold is a commodity.
Yes. Yeah, and so is linen. So when we read the first page of this in Portland, kind of together, right? And then we got to then after reading just the first page, we went to this one paragraph in Capital, or I think you mentioned it, and then we read that. And that exact paragraph that we were talking about is in this.
I know. I was so shocked when I came across it.
Yeah.
Because I thought it said the opposite of what this guy thinks.
No, he thinks it says almost the opposite of what you're saying it says.
Yeah, right.
So can I read that paragraph, or
you want to? Why don't we read on a little bit more before we get to that paragraph?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm going to go. Can I go to my notes before we get to? Because I do get to that paragraph.
Yes.
I think in my notes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the quote again from Worrall. It says, Harvey makes two notable errors. On the one hand, he misrepresents the structure of Marx's value concept. And secondly, he misconstrues the specific synthetic transformation function of the exchange relation itself, such that value is hypostatized.
Can you define that word?
Hypostatize. Yeah. Hypostatize means to treat or represent something abstract as a concrete reality.
Right. Okay.
And hypostatize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I should, if I'm saying it wrong, I'm going to re-record the right way to say
it. And then
just insert it in whenever I see it.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
And I'm going to do it in a way that's really obvious, and I'm going to leave this part
out. Yeah.
So I want to say that first of all, that under capitalism, I think value is apostatized. I think that it is made, something abstract is made concrete. That's the whole process here.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. What Marx is getting at when he talks about the fetish nature of commodity is exactly that. Value is an abstraction, an amount of abstract labor time that is apostatized as commodity.
It becomes
material.
Social reality.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then the other thing I wanted to find, though, is synthetic transformation, or this synthetic transformative function. And just point out that he's talking about something empirical and contingent when he talks about the transformative function of in the exchange. So he's saying that the moment of exchange is contingent and empirical.
Right.
Rather than determined, say, and abstract. Rather than it being determined.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
I'm going to read the next sentence too. So Harvey also misplaces the price concept as a social representation of value. And I want to know what he means by social representation. If what he is meant is that price is consciously derived, if that's what he thinks Harvey means, in other words, as if we consciously try to assess what the price should be based on the value or how much labor time has gone into producing the item, that's wrong.
That's not what Harvey means, you're saying.
That's not what Harvey means. And that's certainly not what Marx means.
No.
And if what is meant is that the price is equal to the value, that's also wrong.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure that this moment of transformation or this transformative function in exchange tells us as much as Worrall thinks it does about value. It tells us about price and profitability. I
mean, when Marx in Capital, Marx starts with the moment of exchange, right? As the point where he starts examining the commodities in the moment of the exchange of two things. And he kind of, and it seems to me he's making the argument that.
Hold on just a second, Ed. Yeah, I'm talking to Ben, though. What's up?
Hi, Simon.
Those are Hal's. They are Hal's. Okay, that's fine. The Hot Pockets are for Hal. They're for Hal.
Don't eat the Hot Pockets.
What?
I said don't eat the Hot Pockets. All right.
They're not for. Hot Pockets are disgusting.
They are. They're like, I feel like if we were to, they're the closest thing to just generic food. They're really kind of gross and tasteless, despite having so many ingredients in them.
Yeah, a lot of salt.
All right.
Back to this thing about capital.